You've heard of the rumblings in Rome and in Italy about changes to Pope Benedict XVI, Summorum Pontificum, the motu proprio allowing for the celebration of the traditional Latin Mass by every single Catholic priest on planet Earth, and the good Carlo Maria Vigano, Archbishop, former Papal Nuncio to the United States of America, and whistleblower on ex Cardinal McCarrick, has penned a response, and it is titled Considerations on the Feared Modification of the Motu Proprio Summorum Pontificum. What's going on here? Well, you heard me talk about it a couple times in the last 2 weeks. There are rumblings coming out of Italy that the bishops of Italy are asking Pope Francis to modify, roll back the permissions granted by Pope Benedict XVI so that every priest can celebrate the traditional Latin Mass according to the books of 1962. That is, the liturgy as it was received right before the Second Vatican Council, which was 62 to 65, the Novus Ordo promulgated in 69, went into effect in 1970. And Archbishop Vigano, you may or may not know this, he is now a traditional Latin Mass celebrator. I guess that's the right word. He celebrates the traditional Latin Mass, and he actually does a little bit of autobiographical reflection in his commentary, which I'm going to go through today. So to begin, I'm going to invite you to pray with me the Our Father in Latin, and then we're going to go through this recent reflection by Archbishop Vigano. And I'm not going to read every single paragraph, but I'm going to slice the choice cuts and share those with you. All right, let us pray. Oremus. Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Pater noster, qui es in caeli, sanctificetur nomen tuum, advenient regnum tuum, fiat voluntas tua, sicut in cielo et in terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis odie, et emitte nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris, et ne nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos a malo. Amen. Nomine Patris, Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Why is this important? Well, those of us who attend the traditional Latin Mass, not out of a aesthetic preference, but we attend the traditional Latin Mass from theological convictions about the nature of the sacrifice of Christ, the unbloody sacrifice of Christ that is presented in the traditional Latin Mass. Of course, any valid consecration would present the sacrifice of Christ, the consecration of the bread into the body of Christ and the wine into the blood. But as I've explained previously, you could take a diamond. A diamond is a diamond, but a jeweler can put that diamond in a setting that makes it sparkle more, draws more attention. He can put more little diamonds around it. He can use gold, platinum, and draw out the beauty of that diamond. And that's what liturgy is. The Eucharist is the Eucharist. It is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, and it is the sacrifice that Christ offered for us men and for our salvation. However, the liturgy over centuries was designed by saints who enhanced that one true diamond so that it could be better appreciated and that it could be properly disposed as an act of our worship, as an oblation to the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So for most people who are traditional Catholics, they don't go to the Latin Mass because they're Latin geeks. I'm a Latin geek, but that's not why I attend the Latin Mass. They don't go because it's an aesthetic preference. Maybe there are some who go just for the aesthetics, but it's fundamentally about what is worship, what is sacrifice, and I would even argue, what is Christianity? Okay, so we're going to jump in here, and you'll see some of this come out in the way that Archbishop Vigano speaks. Before I get started, please do me the favor and like the video with a thumbs up. It is going to be a good video because it's Archbishop Vigano. You know it's going to be good. Share this video on Facebook or Twitter. And then if you're new, please subscribe and hit the little dingy bell. And when you hit the bell, you'll be notified every time I go live. And if you're on a mobile device, make sure your notifications for YouTube are on. Otherwise, that little dingy bell, it doesn't work. You have to actually have your general settings notifications on. You can just put like a little pop-up upper third or something like that. Okay, like I said, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I am going to give you the choice cuts. And I'm going to begin with Archbishop Vigano reflecting on the gift of Benedict XVI to the church and issuing a motu proprio called Summorum Pontificum. Motu proprio is a term, it's a way in which the Pope can make a canonical decision on his own movement. That's what the Latin means, right? It's something proper to him. He says, you know what, we need this to happen in the church, and he can just draw it up and issue it. Okay, so, I mean, it's kind of a bad analogy, but maybe if you're an American, you can kind of understand it as sort of like an executive order. But of course, canon lawyers are going to scream at and yell at me and say that's not right, but just so you can kind of understand. Okay, so this motu proprio is cited by Archbishop Vigano, and he says, quote, in 2007, Benedict XVI restored full citizenship to the venerable Tridentine liturgy, giving back to it the legitimacy that had been abusively denied it for 50 years. In his motu proprio, Summorum Pontificum, he declared, quote, it is therefore permitted to celebrate the sacrifice of the Mass following the typical edition of the Roman Missal, which was promulgated by Blessed John the 23rd in 1962 and never abrogated as an extraordinary form of the Church's liturgy. For such a celebration with either missal, the priest needs no permission from the Apostolic See or from his own ordinary, that is, his bishop. So what Ben XVI said is you can go back and use the missal, and in fact, he also says for all seven sacraments, the liturgy for all seven sacraments, going back to before Vatican II, 1962, and there's three important things that Benedict says here. Number one, that Mass was never abrogated. It means it was never abolished. So you had someone like Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre, 1970, 71, 75, 78, 80, 81. Bishops were saying, you can't do that. That's been abrogated. That's been abolished. Lefebvre always said, no, this is the traditional Latin Mass. This is the Mass of Pope Pius V, and we will continue to say it. Here, Benedict XVI affirms the claim that Archbishop Lefebvre said until his death. So this is a vindication that the old Mass was never abrogated and never abolished. That's a really big deal. The second thing that Benedict XVI said is that the priest, any priest, diocesan priest, Franciscan priest, Dominican priest, Jesuit priest, any priest, he can say the traditional Latin Mass, 1962, without the permission of the Pope, and even more importantly, without the permission of his own bishop. If Father McGillicuddy at Sacred Heart Catholic Church wants to start saying a traditional Latin Mass every single day, or if he wants to say a traditional Latin Mass at 11:30 a.m. every single Sunday, according to this motu proprio, that priest does not have to get on the phone and say, yes, Bishop, I would like permission to do the traditional Latin Mass on Sunday or every other day. He doesn't have to do that. This motu proprio gives him full permission to do exactly that, to say the traditional Latin Mass. Now, this was actually a condition that was requested by the Society of St. Pius X. All right, they had a number of conditions. One was that the excommunications be nullified on the bishops of the Society of St. Pius X. Another was that every priest, not just Society of St. Pius X priest, but all priests be given universal permission to say the traditional Latin Mass, which we saw just happen. And then the third was that there would be a clarification on whether there was any new doctrine or dogma that was in the Second Vatican II documents, and if they would be required to accept those. Obviously, that third one was never hammered out. Never happened. Now, having established the motu proprio and given this universal permission, I'm going to skip down just a little bit if you're following along. By the way, you can read this whole document by Archbishop Vigano at Catholic Family News. That's where I'm reading it right now on the screen. So I'm going to jump down a little bit, and Archbishop Vigano says this: simply tolerating that there are Catholics who want to drink from the sacred sources of that rite sounds like a defeat for them, one that is bearable only if it is limited to little groups of nostalgic elderly people or eccentric aesthetes. It's the word aesthetical, not ascetical, which means penance and discipline, but this is aesthetical, as in beauty. He says, but if the extraordinary form, and he puts some scare quotes on there, but if the extraordinary form, which is such in the ordinary sense of the word, becomes the norm for thousands of families, young people, and ordinary people who consciously choose it, then it becomes a stone of scandal and must be relentlessly opposed, limited, and abolished, since there must be no counter to the Reformed liturgy, no alternative to the squalor of the conciliar rites. I'm going to pause here. Here, Archbishop Vigano is turning his sights to the modernist hierarchy. We were told, as Catholics, that 1960s was a great moment of dialogue and awakening about the positive elements in humanity. And we could all come together. You could put a Muslim and a Buddhist and a Hindu and a Jew and an Anglican and a Lutheran and a Methodist and a Catholic all in the same room. You could serve some kosher food that wouldn't offend everybody. And you could take a bunch of pictures and you could dialogue for 2 hours. And at the end of this, there was going to be world peace, economic prosperity, and religious tolerance. If we could all just get together for a photo op and for some kosher sandwiches together, everything was going to get better. All these years later, we know that that's all malarkey. That's not true. You can dialogue all you want with Hindus, and they're still going to go worship their elephant head god. And Muslims, and there's still going to be terrorism and war. And we've had wars in the Middle East. And you're still going to have division, schism, heresy. I mean, here we are all these years later, and we're not even in full communion with the Eastern Orthodox. The Eastern Orthodox are not in communion with themselves. The Patriarch of Moscow in Russia has excommunicated the so-called Ecumenical Patriarch of Constantinople. They're not in ecclesiastical communion. This optimism of the 1960s was really just Peter, Paul, and Mary, Woodstock, good vibes. It wasn't real. And that sort of spilled into this, wow, we have JFK in America. He's going to be this Catholic president and all these good things are happening. Let's just get together and hug. And it was a failure. Along with that was the idea, if we can take the liturgy and create a liturgy where if a Methodist or a Lutheran or a Jew or a Muslim walked into one of our churches during Mass, they could get something out of it and they would feel affirmed as well. So the things that sort of stress uncomfortable elements of Catholicism, like a bloody corpus of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, on a cross, let's get rid of that and let's just kind of put a Platonic form of a human on a Greek cross over hanging over the altar. All these statues dripping with paint and blood and burns and martyrdoms, let's get rid of all that. Rip out all the statues from the churches. Get rid of that. Altar rail, that feels like a wall across a border. We don't want walls across a border. We want everything open. Rip out the altar rails. The priest, his back's to us. He's talking to God, but not to us. He should be talking to us. We need more dialogue across the altar. Let's turn that priest around to face us. Wait, he's speaking Latin. Well, I dropped out of Latin in high school. I didn't finish Latin. I can only understand every one out of 30 words the man's saying up there. Scrap that. Let's put that in English or Spanish or Portuguese or German or Vietnamese, wherever you are. Let's put that in the vernacular. And so what happened is everything eroded. And they assumed this was going to bring about the new springtime, the new evangelization. Numbers for the priesthood would soar upward. More nuns, more monks, people, all kinds of Protestants would be like, wow, the new Catholic Church is awesome. I want to join that. And all these Protestant sects and the Eastern Orthodox and all these groups would be like, finally, Catholicism is what we've always wanted to be. Let's all run in and be in full communion with each other. None of that happened. It's been a disaster and it's been a failure. It's not politically correct or it's not ecclesiastically correct to say that. But if you just look at the numbers, it's been a failure. Where is Catholicism thriving? I went to Mass today, daily Mass, saw dozens and dozens of young families, young fathers, young mothers, one or two babies. Some of them have four or five kids. I saw elderly people. I saw single people. I saw people of all different ethnicities, all worshiping at a daily Mass. It was a traditional Latin Mass. The vocations to the religious life, the vocations to the priesthood, and the vocation to the married life, and this flourishing of that is happening in, it's happening in other places, but if you go to a traditional Latin Mass parish, you're going to see that flourishing. And Archbishop Vigano notes that those who have championed the hip, cool, groovy Peter, Paul, and Mary Woodstock Catholicism that was supposed to bring the whole world together, it's a small, small world after all, that whole thing, for them to admit that they have spent 50 years ripping apart churches, tearing out altar rails, putting in IKEA tables as altars, telling nuns, take off your veils, wear pantsuits, for them to admit it was all a big mistake. That is a bitter pill to swallow. And Archbishop Vigano taps that. Remember, Archbishop Vigano hasn't spent his whole life as Archbishop Lefebvre. He has been in the diocesan, conference of bishops, nuncio realm, the Novus Ordo realm, up until recently. So he knows those environments. He knows the cardinals and the archbishops and the popes. That's where he's lived. And he says, since there must be no counter to the Reformed liturgy, that's the Novus Ordo, no alternative to the squalor of the conciliar rites, just as there can be no voice of dissent or argued refutation against the mainstream narrative, and just as effective treatments cannot be adopted in the face of the side effects of an experimental injection, because they would demonstrate the latter's uselessness. So ultimately, this, if you accept that the future is trad, the future is traditionalist, you are also admitting we screwed up. Our experiment failed. And there's so many billions of dollars and so many ecclesiastical careers and so many red hats that are propped up by the so-called Vatican II new evangelization. They just can't admit the defeat. So then Vigano says, so let us not ask ourselves why, in the face of the multiplication of communities tied to the ancient liturgy, the flowering of vocations almost exclusively in the context of the motu proprio, and the increase in the frequent reception of the sacraments and consistency of Christian life among those who follow it, there is a desire to wickedly trample an inalienable right and hinder the apostolic mass. The question is wrong and the answer would be misleading. Let us ask ourselves rather, Archbishop Vigano says, why notorious heretics and fornicators without morals would tolerate their errors and their deplorable way of life being placed into a question by a minority of the faithful and clergy without protectors when they have had the power to prevent it. This is a powerful point Vigano's making. Notorious heretics and fornicators without morals is how he's classifying the group that wants to persecute and take away the right, inalienable right, he says, of attending the apostolic mass, the traditional Latin mass. Archbishop Vigano then says, at this point, we understand well that this aversion cannot fail to be made explicit precisely by putting an end to the motu proprio, abusing a usurped and perverted authority. Even at the time of the Protestant pseudo-Reformation, tolerance towards certain liturgical customs rooted in the people was short-lived, because those devotions to the Virgin Mary, those hymns in Latin, those bells rung at the elevation, which no longer existed, necessarily had to disappear, since they expressed a faith that Luther's followers had denied. And it would be absurd to hope that there could be a peaceful coexistence between the Novus Ordo and the Vetus Ordo, the Old Ordo, as well as between the Catholic Mass and the Lutheran Lord's Supper, because there's no compatibility between them. On closer inspection, at least the defeat of the Vetus, the Old Order, hoped for by the supporters of the Novus, the New Order, is consistent with their principles, just as the defeat of the Novus by the Vetus should likewise be hoped for. They are mistaken, therefore, who believe that it is possible to hold together two opposing forms of Catholic worship in the name of plurality or liturgical expression, that is, the daughter of the conciliar mentality no more and no less than it is the daughter of the hermeneutic of continuity. Boom, boom, boom. What's he saying here? Look, when the Protestant Reformation happened, you can read Cranmer's Godly Order by Michael Davies. He goes through all the things that Luther, Calvin, and then Cranmer in England, what they had to do with the people. Remember, every single Protestant, the first generation of Protestants in the 1500s, 100% of them had been raised Catholic. They had been baptized as Catholic. They had their first communion and their confirmations as Catholic. They were married in the Catholic Church. They had kept Lent every single year of their life. And now they are being told all of that was wrong. You need to now follow Martin Luther or John Calvin or Zwingli or Cranmer, pick your reformer. That old stuff is bad. But that those old rituals and the sacraments and the liturgies were embedded in their souls, as we believe they are. It's an ontological reality. And so Luther and the other reformers had to do things to nullify the old faith. They got rid of bells. Couldn't ring the bells during Mass. For the most part, they got rid of incense. All of them, 100% of the Protestant reformers, 100% of them required communion in the hand and not on the tongue. Why? Because all of the reformers wanted the people to stop believing in the real presence, transubstantiation. And all of these Protestant reformers knew the quickest way to kill their belief in transubstantiation is to make them receive communion in the hand. All the Protestant reformers, 100% of them, insisted on communion in the hand for a theological lesson to the lay people. It's just bread. It's just like the bread on your table. It's just a symbol. Devotion to the Virgin Mary had to be completely wiped out. The Latin hymns completely wiped out. So we see that what Luther was doing and the reformers were doing echoed and has very similar applications of what happened in the 1960s. For example, Luther hated the Roman offertory. He said it just had way too much sacrifice and oblation, so he forbade all Lutheran clergy to use the Roman offertory. One of the very first things they did, that Bugnini did in the Novus Ordo, was completely gut the offertory of the Roman, the Roman offertory. Gone. So this is the comparison that Vigano is making. He says, regardless of the final outcome, the deus ex machina, that's the God out of the machine, of this predictive play is, as always, Bergoglio, that is Pope Francis, who is even ready to take credit for a gesture of clement indulgence towards conservatives, as well as unloading the responsibilities for a restrictive application onto the new prefect, Archbishop Arthur Roche, and his followers. Archbishop Roche, who will be Cardinal Roche, is the successor to Cardinal Serra. I've actually met him. He probably doesn't remember. I spent about an hour with him once with some seminarians asking him about liturgy. And this was in Rome, probably in about 2015-16. We were supposed to meet with Cardinal Serra. And when we got there, Cardinal Serra wasn't there. He had some appointment. So instead, we met with Archbishop Roche. And the seminarians I was with at that time were conservative, and they were excited to think about things like ad orientem, celebration, traditional Latin mass, altar rails, communion of the tongue. So a lot of the questions that were being posed to Roche at that time were somewhat traditional questions. And I was actually shocked. During that whole hour with him, every single one of his response was the sort of liberal revisionist, such as, well, the early church was always facing the people, or, you know, the early church vernacular was the norm, and the early church this. So he was very much repeating the Bergoglio, I mean, the Bugnini rhetorical points. So now that he's in charge of divine worship, I am concerned. I am a little concerned, just from that experience I had with him in Rome. And I think Archbishop Vigano has the same concerns. He then says, thus, in an event of a choral protest of the faithful and an unhinged reaction by the prefect or other prelates, once again, Bergoglio will enjoy the clash between progressives and traditionalists, since he will have excellent arguments to affirm that the coexistence of the two forms of the Roman Rite causes divisions in the church, and that it is thus more prudent to return to the Pax Montiniana, that is, the total prescription of the Mass of all times. And here is Latin, Pax Montiniana is a kind of a Latin joke. He's talking about Montini, who is Paul VI, the peace of Paul VI, which in a way is a false peace. Archbishop Vigano is saying here that Pope Francis is going to allow there to be a slugfest between traditionalists and modernists, with the referee as Archbishop Roche, to prove over the years that, look, this is just divisive. You know, you've got the trads calling names of the modernists, and you got the modernists calling names of the traditionalists, and we had this case in this diocese where this schism broke out or whatever. So basically what we have to do is just go back to the Novus Ordo and ban the traditional Latin Mass. All right, just a couple more statements here by Vigano, and we'll close up. He says towards the end, the church is not an agency in which the marketing office decides to cancel old products from the catalog and propose new ones in their stead according to customer requests. I like this analogy. Right? The church is not a marketing agency with a catalog. He says, imposing the liturgical revolution with force on priests and the faithful in the name of obedience to the council, stripping away from them the very soul of Christian life and replacing it with a rite that the Freemason Bugnini copied from Cranmer's Book of Common Prayer, was already painful. That abuse partially healed by Pope Benedict XVI with the motu proprio, cannot be repeated in any way now in the presence of elements that are all largely in favor of the liberalization of the ancient liturgy. If one really wanted to help the people of God in the crisis, the Reformed liturgy should have been abolished, which in 50 years has caused more damage than Calvinism has done, end quote. So Vigano's saying, look, it's not a catalog. This is not a marketing team. This is the faith. And 50 years ago, a new liturgy for all seven sacraments, a new liturgy of the hours, a new book of exorcisms, a new everything was imposed on the clergy and on the laity. And he says it is a rite of the Freemason Bugnini copied from Cranmer's Book of Common Prayer. Look, I used to be an Anglican priest, an Anglican clergyman, and I said Cranmer's Book of Common Prayer for the sacraments that I celebrated. And as someone who has firsthand experience with Cranmer's Book of Common Prayer, I will attest, I think one of the reasons why I became a traditional Catholic is I feel and hear Cranmer's liturgy inside the Novus Ordo. The Novus Ordo is tilting the Roman Rite towards Cranmer, which is the Church of England's Book of Common Prayer. I'm not the first one to notice that. This goes all the way back to the 1960s when beta versions of the Novus Ordo were being released and discussed. And he said, you know, we had a little bit of healing when Benedict XVI says, hey, you know what? Every priest can go back to the old one if they want, without permission of the Pope or the bishop. We had a little bit of healing. And now that there's some healing, we have yet another conflict. We have the murmuring of the modernists saying, nope, nope, nope. No more of this ancient liturgy. Everybody needs to do the new stuff. New Coke is better. You don't want Coke Classic. Coke Classic is nasty. You know that Coke Classic that made Coca-Cola really famous and everybody was excited about that? That's bad. You want to drink New Coke. And everyone's saying, well, I don't like the New Coke. I just want the old Coke. And no, no, the New Coke is better. You want the New Coke. I don't want that. You got it. It's better. See, they've been saying it's better for 50 years, and now it's kind of like everyone knows that it's not better, but they just keep saying it. And now it's almost like a meme. It's like a boomer meme, right? Where you have this generation of priests that are like, well, you want contemporary worship. And then the 20-year-old says, contemporary to me is Drake. It's not Peter, Paul, and Mary. It's not the Beatles. It's not the Doors. It's not Led Zeppelin. I know you guys are trying to do that, and you think it's cool, and you think it's going to make me like Catholicism more, but it's just cringy. Give it up. Catholicism should look like Catholicism in movies, where the priests have black cassocks on, the nuns have actual covers, you know, what are these things called? Whipples or something like that. And veils and long dresses and cords and rosaries, and there should be statues and candles burning and high altars and Gregorian chant. Even Hollywood knows what Catholicism is supposed to look like. Just be Catholic. Let Catholicism be Catholic. It doesn't need to look like Catholicism revised a la 1969 to 1975. It's just cringy. It's horrible. Archbishop Vigano concludes, this is why it is to be feared that these institutes will be asked to make some form of submission to the conciliar liturgy. For example, by making celebration of the Novus Ordo mandatory, at least occasionally, as diocesan priests must already do. In this way, whoever makes use of the motu proprio will be constrained not only to an implicit acceptance of the Reformed liturgy, but also to public acceptance of the new rite and its doctrinal mindset. Here he's saying, look, we could see some attacks on the institutes that fell under what was formerly called Ecclesia Dei. Fraternity of St. Peter and Institute of Christ the King are those that are most well known. Could we get to a point where the local bishop or the Pope says, I want every priest of the Fraternity of St. Peter and Institute of Christ the King, to celebrate at least one Novus Ordo, or to concelebrate every year at Chrism Mass. And if they don't, then they're getting skizzy. They're schismatic. They drop the skizzy factor on them. Could we get to that? I know in some places, it does actually happen. What if that became universal and required? Vigano says, and whoever celebrates the two forms of the rite will find himself ipso facto discredited above all in its consistency, passing off his liturgical choices as merely aesthetic. I would say almost choreographic. In fact, depriving him of any sort of critical judgment towards the Montian Mass and the Mense that gives it form, because he will find himself forced to celebrate that Mass. One of the things that's comical is you see e-priests on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and these guys are all in on Karl Rahner and Balthasar and Nouvelle Théologie and ecumenical dialogue, and Martin Luther had some good ideas. Maybe we shouldn't have been so hard on Martin Luther. And they really are into the spirit of Vatican II. And yet these same e-priests love to pose with their crisp new berettas and their lace and their Roman chasuble. And they, you know, say, oh, I say a traditional Latin Mass three times a year and all that. It's ridiculous. It's an inconsistency that Archbishop Vigano is calling out here. You can't drip in lace. You can't wear your crisp beretta and your Roman chasuble and then order an extra maniple for your vestment set. If you're also going to be in the mindset, he uses the Latin word mens here, which is mind. If you're going to be in the mindset of the new doctrine, the new theology, you know, you can't follow the theology of Rahner and Kuhn and Schilbecks and all these guys, Balthasar, and also want to say the traditional Latin Mass, because it just looks like what Vigano says here, choreography. Choreography. What movie was that had, was it Holiday Inn or White Christmas, where they do that funny choreography? They call them choreography. I don't know. It's like that. It's dress up. It's LARPing. It's LARPing. You believe the new stuff, but you're LARPing as the old stuff. It's like dressing up for a Star Trek convention. Very last paragraph here. We'll close up. Archbishop Vigano says, let us pray, therefore, let us pray that the divine majesty to which we render perfect worship, celebrating the venerable ancient rite, will deign to enlighten the sacred pastors so that they desist from their purpose and indeed promote the Tridentine Mass for the good of Holy Church and for the glory of the Most Holy Trinity. Let us invoke the holy patrons of the Mass, St. Gregory the Great, St. Pius V, and St. Pius X in primis, and all the saints who over the course of the centuries have celebrated the holy sacrifice in the form that has been handed down to us, so that we may faithfully preserve it. May their intercession before the throne of God beg for the preservation of the Mass of all time, thanks to which we are sanctified, strengthened in virtue, and able to resist the attacks of the evil one. And if ever the sins of the men of the church should merit for us a punishment so severe as that prophesied by Daniel, let us prepare to descend into the catacombs, offering this trial for the conversion of the shepherds. End quote. End of the document. Carlo Maria Vigano, Archbishop. And of course, at the very end there, he's referring to the prophecy of Daniel that in the time of the Antichrist, they will take away the sacrifice, which many church fathers interpret of taking away the sacrifice of the Eucharist, the sacrifice of the Mass. He also invokes St. Gregory the Great, St. Pius V, and St. Pius X. Great little statement here. Thank you very much, Archbishop Vigano. It's just lovely. It's very encouraging to see that Archbishop Vigano is such a stalwart defender of the traditional Latin Mass. And I would encourage you to find a traditional Latin Mass near you. If it's not possible, it's not possible. Maybe there is one 20 minutes away, 30 minutes away. Maybe you should go check it out. And I guarantee the first time you go, you're going to be confused. You're going to feel uncomfortable because you don't know what to do. And that's fine. It's like drinking your first beer. You think you should like it, and everybody talks how awesome beer is. But the first time you have a beer, you think, this is gross. Why do people like this? I don't understand. But after you've had beer three or four times, you start to like it and you start to understand it. That's kind of how going to the Mass is, the Latin Mass. It's going to be a little bit of a shock, a little bit of confusion at first. Don't worry about it. The more you go, the more you understand. Remember, people in the old days, from the time they were infants to the time they were 7, 10 years old, they went every single week. They knew it backwards and forwards. Joan of Arc was illiterate, but she knew the Latin Mass. You, it's not your fault. You weren't raised that way. So it's going to be a little strange. People write me all the time, Taylor, how do I better understand the Latin Mass? I want to know what's going on. I have three pieces of advice for you. Number one, just go. It's kind of like learning how to two-step, the Texas two-step, country western dancing. You can watch videos, you can look at pictures, read about it, but until you ask a girl to dance and get on the dance floor and make a fool of yourself and try it a few times, maybe a dozen times, you're not going to get it until you actually do it on the dance floor. You have to actually be in the moment and experience it and make some mistakes and learn from it. Secondly, here on YouTube, I have a number of videos, tutorials on all things traditional Latin Mass, responses, prayers, structures, how to put the ribbons in the missal, all that kind of stuff. It's all free. Just go on YouTube, search Taylor Marshall Latin Mass, and you'll see a bunch of videos. There's a whole playlist of that. If you want to go even deeper, I have an online course at newstthomas.com. At newstthomas.com, I have the, what's it called? The Latin Mass and the History of the Roman Rite. It's meant to be a year course. You could probably do it in 3 months or in 6 months. But if you want to do that, you can go to newstthomas.com. And then certain people over at Patreon at certain levels, they get the newstthomas.com online courses thrown in as an extra benefit. And if you want to learn about that, you can go to patreon.com/drtaylormarshall. So you can go to newstthomas.com and take the courses directly, or you can get other benefits and go through patreon.com/drtaylormarshall. And at the end of this month in June, I'll be giving away to Patreons and to members of New St. Thomas Institute. Both groups are all in the same raffle. Dewey Rames, Family Edition, Holy Bible, Catholic Bible. Read the Bible every day. Pray the Rosary every day. Go to confession every 1 to 4 weeks. I went today. It was great. It was awesome. Make sure when you get your absolution from your priest, I like to recommend, if the priest says your penance is 5 Hail Marys, go in the pew, say your 5 Hail Marys, and then say, Dear Jesus, thank you for this priest who heard my confession and absolved me of my sins in your name. I now offer the exact same penance, 5 Hail Marys, for his priesthood and his spiritual benefit. That's a good pious practice. So pray the rosary every day, read the Bible every day, keep your eyes on Jesus, find a traditional Latin Mass, come to experience what Archbishop Vigano is talking about. And remember, our Lord Jesus Christ says you're the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty. God bless. Godspeed. I forgot the Hail Mary. Let's do it. Ave Maria in Latin. Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et hora mortis nostrae. Amen. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. All right, friends, God bless and Godspeed.